Say it like you mean it. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess, my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, I will never be the same. In Jesus' name.
Now let me tell you something about false teachers. You think so many times that people fall prey to false teachers. And that, in a sense, can be true at times. But I think the dominant theme in Scripture is just the opposite. False teachers are God's judgment on people who don't want God, but in the name of religion, plan on getting everything their carnal heart desires. That's why a Joel Osteen is raised up. Those people who sit under him are not victims of him. He is the judgment of God upon them because they want exactly what he wants, and it's not God.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
The teachings of Mormonism, the teachings of the Jehovah Witnesses, the teachings of the Roman Catholic Church or Roman Catholicism is not Christian, plain and simple. And if you are practicing homosexual, you cannot be a Christian. It's that simple. I don't say that, the Bible says it.
Deep in an underground bunker that looks like our mother's basement, in the middle of Lake Michigan, this is Empowered by Christ Radio.
No, you won't. That's for sure. All right, yeah, it is. It's Empowered by Christ Radio, and I'm your host, Richard Haas, and welcome. Well, I was just looking here at a couple articles we're going to be discussing today, a couple topics, and, you know, looking through some things and looking through some comments made, and just kind of had to laugh. Just at the general, how can I say, almost a lack of discernment in these comments people are making. It really amazes me where the American church and American Christianity is at today. Well, actually, it doesn't amaze me because it's really a saddened state we're at. It's not a happy state. It's a saddened state. We, as Christians in America, really are missing something, and a lot of it has to be what we are missing is Christ. And I don't say that laughingly or lightheartedly, because there are a lot of so-called Christians out there that are missing one essential thing, and that's Christ. And it's a relationship with Christ. They're going through a religious function, a religious behavior, but they are not having a relationship with Christ. And that's what we're going to be talking about really today. Our show is really going to be about mega Christianity and mega churches and problems with the mega churches, mega Christianity. And, you know, I'm not saying all mega churches are bad, but there seems to be a problem here in America, and especially in America, and American Christianity as it tries to export itself as Christianity in other parts of the world. It doesn't live up to what biblical Christianity is. I believe you have biblical Christianity, and then you have American Christianity going on here. And right now, if you took the two on a scale, American Christianity is overtaking biblical Christianity. And you see that a lot in the so-called, and I'm doing the air quotes here, mega churches. And that's kind of what we're going to be talking about today, you know, just the general topic of mega American Christianity, I guess you could call it. And, you know, where it's gone off the rails. You know, the train has left the station and it's rocking down a track, and honestly, it's going to hit a section of track soon that's going to cause a derailment, and there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be hurt when that mega train of mega Christian American Christianity derails itself. And that's, you know, basically what we're going to be discussing today. It's going to be a pretty good podcast. We've got some articles we're going to be looking at, and of course we're going to be doing a Joel Osteen update, speaking of mega Christianity or mega church Christianity, and we could not do a series on that or a podcast on that subject without, of course, doing an update by Joel Osteen and looking at something that he put out just the other day, matter of fact. It was yesterday. It was a highlight reel of one of the Night of Hope events in New York. And we're going to kind of listen to the audio of that. And, of course, comment on that. And then we're going to be doing that shortly. But, you know, it's just, Osteen is a perfect example of what is wrong with American Christianity. Right there. I mean, that sums up pretty much right there. If you look at one ministry, it's Osteen. I got a little just something to, you know, share here with Joel Osteen. A lot of times, just a little side note, my wife won't let me watch Joel Osteen a lot of times. Just because of simple fact that I start yelling at the TV. He'll say something or twist something a certain way, and I'll sit there and start yelling at the TV. And my wife's kind of said, you know what? Okay, you're not going to watch this because I don't want you yelling at the TV. And, you know, it just puts everybody in a watching Osteen when you have theological and you have biblical discernment really kind of makes your blood boil. So it's sometimes not a good thing to watch. Now, speaking to Osteen and all that, we did do an article dealing with his Night of Hope entitled, it's on our blog section, it's entitled Joel Osteen and His Night of Hopelessness, because really that's what it is, because it's Christless hopelessness, man-centered gobbledygook. That's what we have at these events with Joel Osteen. And you can check that out at our Facebook page, the article at our Facebook page at Empowered by Christ, EBC. Also, you can follow us on Twitter at EBC Apologetics, and you can follow us on Google Plus if you're on there, under EBC Apologetics. And also, if you want to check out more than that article, if you want to listen to past podcasts of the show, check out our theological section, our dictionary section, our term section. We have a wide variety of articles dealing with the topic of false religions and false teachers on our website at empoweredbychrist.org. So if you want to check that out, you can do so. And also, if you want to just follow me on Facebook, you can go ahead and type in your Facebook search bar up there at the top. Just type in my name, Richard Haas, and you will be able to follow me. You most probably will not be able to send me a friend request because I am at 5,000 friends, and Facebook, you know, they put that limit on there, so you're going to have to follow. But that's okay. Follow along, and you'll see what I'm talking about on my page, and you can see what's going on our Empowered by Christ page as well. Now, also, I wanted to bring up real quickly, while I'm giving out some of this information, and before we get too much into our show and into the Joel Osteen update. Now, if you want to make a comment about the show, or you have a question, and you want us to answer it, you can do so by calling and leaving us a voicemail, and we will play your question or your comment on our next show. Now, you might be saying, hey, how do I do that? You know, I get this question, that question about false teacher, about, you know, a religious movement. You know, hey, you know, you just want to say, hey, Rich, you're great, you're awesome. Yeah, okay, whatever. But what you can do is call us at area code 414-369-2242. Now, somebody asked me, well, you know, why, Rich, why didn't you get a 1-800 number? And, you know, honestly, 1-800 numbers, I think, are kind of a thing of the past. With everybody with cell phones and, you know, free long distance and Skype and all these alternative ways of calling area coded numbers, the way of the 1-800 number is kind of gone just away. You know, it's kind of like, you know, like the horse and buggy went away when the car came around. Well, you know, it's kind of like the 1-800 number and the toll-free calling went away when cell phones came available and plans and, you know, long distance was included. And, you know, everybody's got these unlimited calling, unlimited texting. Well, all that kind of, you know, transpired to say, hey, we don't need a 1-800 number. You know, a regular area code number does just fine. So, you know, again, you can call, leave us a message, ask us a question, and we will play it on our next podcast. And you can do so again at 414-369-2242. So, now, like I said, we are doing a Joel Osteen update, and when we do Joel Osteen updates, that requires I need to play this.
Smiling faces sometimes pretend to be your friend. Smiling faces show no traces of the evil that lurks within. Smiling faces sometimes they don't tell the truth. Smiling faces tell lies, and I got proof. Oh Lord, yeah.
All right. Enough of that. Yeah, smiling faces. An old classic. I kind of thought that would be fitting for Joel Osteen. I think we're going to make that Joel Osteen's update music. You know, smiling faces don't always tell the truth. Sometimes they tell lies. And that seems, you know, Mr. Osteen seems to smile a lot. But behind that smiling persona is a bunch of lies that are sending people to basically the pits of hell for eternity, because he does not preach the word of God. He doesn't preach the full counsel of the word of God. Let's put it that way. He preaches bits and pieces of the word of God. He preaches a prosperity twisted gospel of, you know, the word of God, but he doesn't preach a biblical correct hermeneutical contextual version of the word of God, a version that puts Jesus Christ in his proper place as our Savior, puts the proper light on the power of the Holy Spirit and on our position before God. He instead puts a humanistic twist, a have your best life now, and you can declare something, and your words have powers that, you know, can make things magically appear. Basically, what Joel Osteen does is turn Jesus and God into magical little genies that you can just summon up anytime you need a blessing or God's favor. So, and we're going to see that in this clip we're going to be listening to. So let's dive right into that clip and we'll comment basically as we go. So here is Mr. Joel Osteen, and like I said, it's a pretty recent clip. It was uploaded to his website just on the 18th, and it's basically an overview of what was being taught at his Night of Hope conference at New York. And if this is any indication from a highlight clip, the rest of it is a lot of trouble if this is the highlights.
dinner at Yankee Stadium.
Bronx, New York.
I'm in New York City.
Tonight is the night of hope.
The energy is just wonderful.
I wanted to come out tonight to see Pastor Joel in person.
I mean, I've been excited for this for months.
Welcome to America's Night of Hope.
This is amazing grace.
It is good to be at Yankee Stadium tonight. We couldn't have a greater night to celebrate the good things of God. And you know, our prayer is that you would leave here knowing that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you.
Twisted scripture alert. Total twisted scripture alert right there. If that's their prayer, how about prayer that God's word be rightly divided, that people come to know Christ? How about that? Instead of twisting Philippians 4:13, that we can do all things through Christ. Yeah, that's not exactly what that verse is intending. Right from the get-go, we get a twisted scripture. But let's listen on and see what else informative heresy he, Osteen, and Victoria Osteen has to preach.
Not one of us are going to go out of here the same way we came in. We're going to go out of here stronger, inspired, healthier, full of favor.
Really? So that's the purpose of this Night of Hope, is to basically send people out of inspired, full of hope, and full of favor? How about sending them out full of God's word, God's teachings, correct doctrine, correct theology? Oh, wait. I guess I'm talking about Osteen. That would be too much to ask for, I guess.
Full of victory, amen.
Lord, I know the friends you have for me are bigger than I can imagine.
Keep on hoping on in faith, and you will get what you need from God, because He loves you with an everlasting love.
Okay, do we got a Bible verse that says keep on hoping on with faith so that you'll get what you want? Right there, see, if this is what's being taught in Joel Osteen's Night of Hope, it's really hopelessness, because there is no hope being taught. Our hope as Christians is in Jesus Christ. Our hope is not in keep on hoping on so we can get what we want. No, what we want, what our flesh wants, isn't good for us, even as Christians. Our only hope is in Jesus Christ, is in the power of the Holy Spirit, and in Christ's redemption and His blood that allows us to do anything good in the sight of God. Otherwise, we are filthy rags in the sight of God. It's only because we are washed clean because of Christ that we are okay, or, you know, righteous in the sight of God. And this man-centered, humanistic, kind of wishy-washy, man-centered gospel garbage is what's being taught at Osteen's Night of Hope. And I'm doing the air quotes here because, like I said, there is no hope in this Night of Hope. It's really a night of hopelessness. And I really did get into this on our article that we wrote and put on our blog section. So you can check that out at our website. And it's just this thing, it's aggravating. Well, anyways, let's continue listening to this garbage that Osteen's putting out disguised as hope.
We declare that the blessings of Almighty God are upon this city, this great state, our nation.
We declare blessing over every family represented here. And Father, we thank you.
Hold on, stop the tape. Hold on, stop the presses. How can you declare these things and make declarative statements when you're not preaching the full authority and context of God's word? You're not even preaching a biblical Christianity. You're not preaching a biblical gospel. So what are you declaring? Declaring what over what? Power over what? Your God of prosperity, gospel, and twisted word of faith doctrine? You're not preaching a biblical Christ-centered gospel. So what are you declaring? You're declaring a humanistic view and a humanistic gospel centered on man and your feelings and getting your best life now, not you know, a Christ-centric gospel. So you have no power to declare anything. You know, you don't have the power to declare anything over me. I'm not going to allow you to declare anything over me. We're not even going to listen to you going on declaring. So anyway, let's fast forward on this. Blood pressure starting to boil. See, this is why my wife doesn't let me listen to Olstein.
In advance for healing in the mighty name of Jesus,
we declare power and authority on every church here in this area.
Tonight we declare John 3:16 over this city, that for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that the whosoever's in the Bronx, and the whosoever's in Brooklyn, and the whosoever's in Staten Island, and the whosoever's in Manhattan.
No, you don't. Oh, boy. Okay, now we got some guy up on the stage, if you're actually watching this video, going, I declare this whosoever John 3:16 thing going on. You know, John, like I've often said, John 3:16, one of the most twisted verses in the Bible. First of all, friend, if I should call you that, I don't know. I don't know who this person is on the stage, but if they're speaking at Joel Osteen's Night of Hope, and I really hate saying that, let's just call it what it is, Night of Hopelessness. I don't really call you a friend. Let's just call you what you are, most probably a heretic. Now, John 3:16 is not a declarative verse for everyone. Unless you're a universalist and you're preaching everybody gets saved and go to heaven. John 3:16 is a declarative in the sense of it's declaring for those who are the sheep of Christ. It's not the whosoever's, like whoever, it's the whosoever are the believing ones, God's elect. Christ's sheep. Not whosoever in the sense of declaring it all over the stage and whoso was ever here, whoso was ever there. No. This, again, comes from a poor misunderstanding of the Word of God, doctrine, theology, hermeneutics. And Olstein, well, I don't think he even understands what the word hermeneutics means, besides knows how to properly exegete Scripture. But, you know, anyway, let's get back to the Night of Hopelessness.
Shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Give God some praise for Jesus.
Greater things are yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city.
I want to take just a moment to recognize and thank our Generation Hope volunteers. They've been working 2-3 days tirelessly painting, going around to churches, schools. We took a big group of kids to the zoo. These guys are awesome, and we just salute you for being the hands and feet of Jesus.
You are alive in this. Nothing can take your place. You are all we need. Your love has shaped
us. You need a fresh new start, a new beginning. If that's you, would you be bold, take that step of faith, and stand right where you are? Come on, New York, give them a hand clap as they stand all over the building.
No, they're not. Greater things are not going to come listening to Olstein. No, they're not. Well, these are great, wonderful social gospel things, but they're Christless if Christ is not involved. What is a fresh new bold start? That could mean anything. What does that mean? I mean, you could be walking down the street and an atheist could go, I need a fresh new bold start. I'm just going to start over. Now, what does that mean? Without Christ being preached, without the gospel being preached, without Christ crucified on the cross, died on the cross, bore our sins on the cross, was buried, rose again, and paid for our sins, what's the point of saying, oh, you need a fresh new bold start? Anybody can do that. This is not gospel. This is not a fresh new start in Christ. This is a fresh new bold start that they're declaring. They're not declaring anything. They don't have the power to declare that a person can have a fresh new start. That's not up to Olstein or his ministry. That's up to the believer, and furthermore, up to the sovereign, holy God, and up to his son, Jesus Christ, and whether or not that person is the elect or not. Now, that's not up to us to decide, but to sit there and go, oh, step forward and get a fresh new bold start, what is that? That's not even anything close to being biblical. It's just man-centered gobbledygook. Stuff makes my blood boil.
You came for it.
Just write it down in your Bible, June 7th, 2014. A new day of victory in your life. Come on, New York.
Yeah, because as we know, writing it down in your Bible, well, that cements that you're a Christian, that you're born again. You know, that is one of the big fallacious teachings of Christianity or American Christianity today. You know, that, well, I wrote that date down in a book when I made a decision in for Christ. I wrote that in the back of my Bible. See, right there it says, June 17th, 2014, I'm saved. Well, what about, you know, perseverance of the saints and knowing the fruit? I mean, you can write that date down, but if there is no heart conversion, true heart conversion, because you just stepped forward and made a bold decision and you declared this thing, but you know, faith, and you wrote that date down in your back of your Bible, well, golly, you must be a Christian then. But, you know, like I said, what about the fact that if there was no regeneration, no change in the heart of the believer or the person claiming to be a believer, then writing that date down means nothing. There's been many a person that has written a date down in their Bible and said, I was born again on this day, and you know what? They're in hell today. Writing that date down doesn't mean jack diddly squat. You know, it kind of reminds me of back, when I attended a SBC church, and, you know, you would occasionally get people that, you know, were the occasional people that would just show up here and there, and then you would get Christians that, you know, would come in and, you know, they would die, or, you know, so family would have that person buried at the church, and, you know, the pastor would be at the funeral giving, well, back in the day, so Johnny Smith, he wrote back in the Bible, he wrote the back of the date in the back of the Bible, therefore he was saved and he's in heaven. Well, during that time from when he wrote the date in the Bible to then his death, well, he was out, you know, selling drugs, whatever, and, you know, living like the devil. Was there any true heart regeneration? Was there any, let's see, Matthew 7:20, showing of the fruits? No. And that's how we know a regeneration. So writing that date down in your Bible doesn't mean dilly squat, as I said before. It means nothing. And to get up on a stage and proclaim because you took a bold new fresh step, whatever that means to begin with, and that you're going to write this date down, it means nothing. Well, let's listen to the last few seconds of this irritation, and we'll continue on.
Give them a welcome to the family of God.
Sorry, I can't do that because I don't know if they're in the family of God. Because guess what? At your conference, I didn't hear the gospel given in this clip, did you? I didn't hear it in this highlight. If this was a highlight of a ministry, supposed, you know, conference or a, let's, as Joel Osteen put it, a night of hope, shouldn't our hope be focused in Christ? Shouldn't in that highlight reel of this 2 minute and 59 second audio clip of what's going on, shouldn't there at least be, I would say, a good 45 seconds to a minute of that highlight clip hearing the gospel and seeing those people be given the gospel and people coming forward after the biblical gospel was given, not this garbage that was portrayed out that was man-centered, humanistic, no better than just secularism, and disguised in a veneer of Christianity? And, you know, this just brings in a point. So when he says, welcome to the family of God, I can't welcome those people to the family of God. Nor should you welcome to the family of God. Now, that is not to say that some of those people at that Night of Hope conference may have not or may have been saved. That's not to say that. I'm not saying people are not going to be saved, people at these conferences, because if God's going to save somebody, God's going to save them despite of Joel Osteen and his horrible exegesis of the Bible and his horrible rendering of the Word of God and his incomplete rendering of the Word of God. God's going to save that person regardless of Joel Osteen's poor performance. And so to say that some of them aren't saved, well, that's not to say. But you know what? They're truly saved. They're not going to stay there and sit under that teaching. They're going to want to read the Word of God. They're going to want to explore the Bible. They're going to want to open it up, look at it, and go, ooh, what's this say? And start in Genesis and read, because they're going to have that hunger, because they have had a heart conversion, a soul conversion. And they're going to want to learn about the Word of God. And once they start doing that, Osteen's in trouble, because they will realize the discernment, the Holy Spirit will kick in, discernment will open up, and they'll leave Osteen's church. And, you know, so, like I said, to say someone can't be saved sitting under Osteen, can't say that, because God will save and elect who he wills to elect, despite of Osteen, despite of me, despite of any preacher. Our job as preachers, as apologists, as those going out in the world and giving the gospel, the Great Commission, following the Great Commission, which is to go give the gospel and then to make disciples of, is not to convert. Our job is not to convert people. So don't get me to think that I'm saying that Joel Osteen, if he gave the gospel, would convert people, and that's his job. No. But as being a, quote, pastor, as he calls himself, his job is to rightly divide the Word of God. And despite his wrongly dividing the Word of God, people will be saved, because God does the saving. God casts his net farther and deeper than we ever can as humans. So God knows his elect. God knows who he's saving. And that just goes to show, this clip here, kind of what is really wrong with American Christianity, and a lot of what is wrong with the mega Christianity, as I would coin it, coin that phrase, mega Christianity, in the sense of, hey, you know, you got these mega Christians, these Christians that attend these mega churches, and, you know, just to name a few, like Elevation Church, you know, you got Rick Warren, you got Stephen Furtick, Perry Noble, Ed Young, all these guys out there, just to basically who are twisting and, you know, basically, in the real sense, robbing people of their salvation, robbing them of spiritual growth, because they are not preaching the full context of the Word. You know, you got like people like Joel Osteen, of course, but, you know, like T.D. Jakes, who has basically, you know, is a oneness Pentecostal. And if you're not familiar what oneness Pentecostalism is, you can go to our website and check it out, empoweredbychrist.org, and it's gone in great detail explaining what it is. But basically, in a short cap version of it, is that they believe, a oneness Pentecostal or oneness person believes that there does not believe in the Trinity. There is no Trinity, but believes that God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit were in different manifestations at different times within the realm of the existence or servicing people. Like, you know, God was in heaven manifested and came down and manifested as Christ, and now is manifested as the Holy Spirit, but still God. It's kind of confusing. But, like I said, we went into great detail explaining what oneness theology teaches. And T.G. Jakes is a oneness. And, you know, he's not teaching the full, complete Word of God. He's teaching a heretical doctrine of oneness theology. And besides that, he's teaching Word of Faith. You know, name it, claim it, blab it, grab it kind of garbage. And, you know, like I said, there's a lot wrong with American Christianity, the mega American Christianity. I'm not saying there isn't a lot right with Christianity, but I would say American Christianity, where you find the right area versus the wrong, is in the smaller churches. And there's a lot of good smaller churches out there, pastors, smaller, you know, part-time pastors, vocational pastors, you know, that are faithfully preaching the full context of the Word of God, that are going out and, you know, doing what a pastor's supposed to be doing, going out and rightly dividing the Word, visiting with his flock, tending to his flock that the Lord has given him. And, you know, he may never get credit for that. He may serve that flock for 35, 40, 50 years. And maybe he'll only see one person, or know of one person that's actually come to Christ, or, you know, has, you know, made a declaration of Christ. But we, you know, he's faithfully serviced God. Because maybe that one person was what God intended out of that flock to be saved. Now, you know, and like I said, this is where goes into the topic of where these mega churches, especially like a church like Perry Noble's New Song or New Spring Church, and his constant, oh, we baptized this so many. It's the numbers game. A lot of these churches, Osteen, Warren, Bill Hybels, T.D. Jakes, Stephen Furtick, you know, Mark Driscoll and his New Calvinist, you know, theology, and, you know, and this is, with that, I'll discuss that in a second, but let me just say, you know, this is coming from somebody who is a Calvinist. Yes, I'm a dirty, rotten, stinking Calvinist. Yeah, I believe in the 5 points. I don't believe the 5 points save. I believe the 5 points are good theological stands. I wouldn't die on the 5 points because Christ and Christ alone saves, and I believe in Christ. I'm a Calvinist because Reformed theology answers the tough questions in the Bible the best. Let's put it that way. And all these new Calvinists, or, you know, people like that, or, you know, in a sense of, and I'm not saying if you're a new Calvinist, you're wrong, but I'm saying a lot of these churches that thrive on that, and these, you know, Word of Faith churches, and all these, I went through the list of people, thrive on one thing, and they need it for their survivability. You know what that is? Numbers. They need a constant growth. It's called the business growth model, or church growth model. And it was actually formed by Peter Drucker, and the reason I misspoke there and said the business growth model is because it basically is a business growth model that was formed by Peter Drucker, who happened to be Rick Warren's mentor. Now, he taught Rick Warren the church growth model, and it's basically what this is. All these mega churches, these mega Christian churches, as you want to put it, thrive on one thing. They need the numbers to survive. If they're not constantly getting an influx of new numbers, new people, new members, well, guess what? They're not growing. They're not thriving. They're not going to survive. And that is a problem with the mega church paradigm or model. And it stems very deeply because it becomes a nickel and nose theology. Now, if you've never heard of that, nickel and nose theology, it basically comes from Martin Luther used it in some of his writing. And it basically goes back to people counting the nickels coming in the coffers and counting the noses. You know, the people, the numbers. It's all about the numbers and the money. And that is a lot of what a lot of these mega churches have to be about because of their business format, their model, their, you know, foundational format itself written into that for their own survivability. Where smaller churches don't have that. And that's not to say all smaller churches are perfect, and because, you know what, no churches are perfect. If they were, you know, there'd be no one attending it. You know, the perfect church is an empty church because as soon as you bring one person in, it's no longer perfect because man is no longer perfect. Well, never has been perfect. since the fall of Adam and Eve, but, you know, the church is no longer perfect because man is not perfect. And this churches that have to thrive, these mega churches that thrive on this nickel and nose theology, lead to a problem. It leads to a mega problem, no pun intended. You start sacrificing your doctrine, your theology, and what you will do and what you won't do to get those numbers and members and noses and nickels into your audience. A lot of times, you have to sacrifice in these churches. Got to keep those members coming in. Got to keep them coming in. So that leads to where you have these pastors with the dirt bike shows. You have the, you know, Ed Young down in, you know, his church doing his, you know, sleeping on the roof and, you know, his sex experiment thing and all that, you know. And then you got, you know, all these little things like Rick Warren does and all these, you know, 40 days of this, 40 days of that. And, all these other little gimmicks that, you know, these churches put on to try to drive people in. And what are they doing? They're using carnal means a lot of times to get people in the door. If you're going to use carnal means, you're going to get carnal Christians. And since there is no such thing as a carnal Christian, guess what? All you have is a carnal man, unconverted, because he's really not a Christian yet. Because you've not used the one means that will convert him and cause regeneration. And that's the gospel. Yeah, you get these people in the door and, you know, you use a carnal mean. And then you throw a gospel nugget out there. You know, you hear it go whiz by. You go, Wee! You know, what was that? There was a gospel nugget flying by. But, you know, it wasn't the gospel. It was, you know, a little piece of the gospel or half-hearted attempt at the gospel. But you don't want to offend those people because, oh, you want to get that money in those, you know, noses in the door. You got to keep them coming in. So that's where you start using carnal means. You get the carnal Christian. The carnal Christian that isn't a Christian because you can't be a carnal Christian. So he's a carnal man. Now they're being entertained. So your mega church, it was supposed to be a good Christian thing, you know, to convert people. And now no longer is a Christian church, but is more of a mega goat farm. And all it's doing is feeding the goats each week and not feeding Christians. That's why I've often said a lot of times you cannot find a lot of solid biblical teaching in mega churches. And it's just very truthful. I mean, if you want to be entertained, if you want to have a fun time, if you want to laugh, if you want to see a comic, go to your mega church. You know, but don't expect to actually open your Bible. And even if you do, don't expect to get deep in content in a lot of these mega churches. And I'm not saying all mega churches are that way, but there is a lot that are. There are some few good mega churches out there, but they are not the mega churches as would be defined. Maybe we should define what, you know, what I'm saying. I'm talking like I've named the names, you know, the Joel Osteens, the, you know, Rick Warrens, the Perry Nobles, the, you know, James McDonald's, the, you know, you name it. Those type of mainstream, hey, I published a book, I got a video conference going on, I video stream, I multi-campusing kind of churches. They're not churches. They are goat factories. That's simple. Just plain and simple goat factories. So there we basically got it. We got, you know, the problem with a lot of American Christianity and churches. And the real problem, you know, I'm going to sum it up here, is, yeah, in America, you know there's a problem when third world countries are sending in missionaries, Christian missionaries, into the United States to reach people because those, quote, Christians attending these mega churches are so lost they don't even know Christ. Or don't hear solid biblical preaching, that third world countries have to send in missionaries to the United States instead of the United States sending out missionaries to them. Because guess what? We are in such a deplorable state of denial of the problems within megachurch theology and the structure of megachurches that it's like we're missing the whole point. And these third world countries find it, you know, see it and go, oh, whoa, this isn't Christianity, because, you know, what they've seen is all of a sudden, you know, Rick Warren's gone over to his, you know, making his peace plan and all these churches part of this, and these people that, you know, have become saved despite of Rick Warren and his teachings and these other false teachers that try to export this false Christianity outside the United States into these other countries, despite that, become saved because God has elected them and saved them, realize, and because they are saved and truly are saved, start to get discernment and go, whoa, this isn't really what the Bible's teaching, what Rick Warren is saying, what, you know, Hillsong Church is saying, what, you know, Stephen Furtick is saying, what all these other, you know, like T.D. Jakes and Joyce Myers is saying, isn't really Christianity. Well, these guys are really lost. It's a pseudo-Christianity. So they get their churches strong, and I've had several emails, several emails, and talked to several people on Facebook. I got friends all over the world on Facebook. I'm not bragging here. I'm just saying a simple fact that I got friends all over, you know, all over the world. And I talk to other pastors in other parts of the countries, you know, countries that, you know, Sudan, you know, Africa, you name it, you know, over South America, and, you know, they've often said, hey, you know, the worst thing that's ever happened is Rick Warren and these guys sending their, exporting your American Christianity over here, because it sends so much false Christianity, false religions spring up because of it, that they wish we'd stop sending missionaries from the U.S. Instead, they want to send missionaries here so the true gospel can be preached. And that sends a sad state of what American Christianity is and where it's at today. And like I said, you know, as we wrap this up, I don't want to leave this all on a negative downhill, but hey, this is the truth, and sometimes the truth has to be spoken. And, you know, podcasts like this are not very popular. People don't like hearing this. You know, people don't want to hear that, oh, I'm attending a megachurch, and maybe I shouldn't be doing that. I'm not saying, and I'm not calling people to if they should or should not attend a mega church. This isn't about attending what size church it is, because, you know, because you could be in a very good large size church or a very good small size church, or vice versa, or a very bad either or. It's about doctrine, theology, the gospel being preached. That's what it's about. Now, if you're in a good church, and regardless of the size, stay there. Now, if you're in one of these churches that aren't preaching good theology, that aren't holding to good doctrine, that are not preaching the gospel, and I don't mean the gospel of, you know, having your best life now like we heard in the Joel Osteen audio clip. I mean Christ died, was crucified, died, buried, rose again, and paid for our sins on the cross. And if you're not hearing that, you need to get out of that church. And it's that simple. Like I said, I don't want to leave it on a negative note, because there are a lot of good, strong churches out there. And they just happen to be smaller. You know, if you're looking for a good, strong, solid church, you can contact us. We have a church review section, and we do church reviews at empoweredbychrist.org. Our ministry, we review churches. If you got a church that you want reviewed, that you got questions about, you can go right ahead and go to our website. Just, you know, go to our homepage, empoweredbychrist.org. Look on the left-hand side. Click the section for church reviews, and it'll give you the contact information. Or you can send us an email. Just go to our contact information and send us a form entry. You can fill out a form entry on our website. You can also send us an email, which is on our website, and give, you know, say, hey, I need help finding a good local church, and we'd be glad to help you and assist you in doing that. And because there are a lot of good local churches of all different sizes, and this is not to come down hard on just if you're, you know, if you're in your town and there's a mega church there. You know, I'm talking about the popular mega churches like I've described earlier, and all the names I've named earlier in this episode. Now, I just want to take a few minutes here, and, you know, just the last little thing here, real quick. Just say, if you got comments, questions, you know, about what we said today on the show, you got a question, you got a comment, you can call us at 414-369-2242, leave us a message, and we'll play your question and answer it on next week's show. Now, speaking of next week's show, we are going to be discussing a wide range of topics. I'm going to narrow it down a little. I try to get a feel for what's going on, and I want to stay current with the topic. So we are going to narrow that down, and we'll put out on our Facebook page and on Twitter what we will be podcasting about next week. So if you, like I said, you want to follow us, stay in tune what's going on with the show, what's going on with ministry, articles and whatnot, follow us at our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter, and you can find both of those and find links to those both at our empoweredbychrist.org website. So thank you for listening. Take care, and God willing, we will be back next week to broadcast another show of Empowered by Christ Radio.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. May God have mercy on your soul.
You have been listening to EBC Radio. You can contact us at ebcradio4u@gmail.com. Make sure to follow us on our Facebook page at Empowered by Christ, EBC, and on Twitter at EBC Apologetics. Also, make sure to check out our website at empoweredbychrist.org. And thank you for listening.